Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. Today, as we look together at God's Word, we'll be considering the entirety of the Book of Ruth, and the reading will be from Ruth chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. And so let's pray. Our God, your word is life and hope and peace. By your word we are born again. It is the imperishable seed, living and abiding. By it we gain wisdom. By it we see Christ, our Saviour and our God. Fill us with joy and peace in believing as our gaze is lifted to Him. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now let's read Ruth chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. And I'm here with my three kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Great. All right, now we have been learning about a book of the Bible, haven't we? Can you remember what the book of the Bible is?
Ruth.
Ruth, that's right. This is our last week in Ruth. So you guys already have done 4 weeks on Ruth and you know the story pretty well already, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So this week I'm going to test you. I'm going to read out my own little version of the story and I want you, when you hear something that's not right, to say, ding, 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 ding. And then you can tell me what you think is wrong in the story.
Okay.
Can you do that? Practice your buzzers.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good, well done. All right, here we go. Here's the story. Ruth is a book about two women called Ruby and Natalie.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good, Ellie. What's right?
It's Ruth and can't remember.
Can't remember? Kai, can you help her?
Naomi.
Ruth and Naomi. Well done. At the beginning of the story, Ruth and Naomi live in the country of Australia.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's good. Do you know what country they did live in?
Israel.
Oh, that was Naomi's home, but they moved away.
The land of Canaan.
Not Canaan. You're close, though. It starts with M.
Moab.
Moab. That's right, Kai. Well done. All right. Ruth and Naomi live in the country of Moab, and they are really, really, really happy because so many good things have happened to them. Yes, Kai?
Sad things have happened to them.
Yeah, so they weren't very happy at all, were they? What does Naomi call herself?
Mara.
Mara, which means?
Bitter.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Now, Ruth and Naomi move back to Israel, to God's promised land. And Ruth goes out to the supermarket to buy some
ding,
more
ding,
food.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ellie?
She goes out to Boaz's field. That's not the supermarket.
That's exactly right. Well done.
Supermarkets weren't there those days.
She went out to a field to collect barley. Ruth just happens to end up collecting food in a field belonging to a man called Bob.
Boaz!
Ding, 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 ding!
Hannah, do you remember the name of the man?
Boaz.
Boaz, that's right. Boaz was a cruel and nasty man.
Ding, 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 ding.
And he hated sharing what he had.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, guys?
He was a kind man. He was the Redeemer.
Yeah, good. Well done. Boaz was a kind and generous man, and he took care of Ruth and Naomi by giving them a happy meal from McDonald's.
No. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, Kai?
He redeemed them by marrying Ruth and looking after them.
You're exactly right. We're not quite at that bit of the story, though. Boaz gave Ruth extra barley and kept her safe from any bad guys who might come along while she worked in his field. When Naomi hears that Boaz has been so kind to Ruth, she gets very scared because
ding, ding,
she...
Ding, 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 ding.
What? What?
She gets very excited that because she realizes that Boaz is one of her family.
Good. Absolutely. She gets very excited because she knows that Boaz is a giant slime monster who loves to eat people from Moab.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, Kai?
Boaz is a man, a very kind man, who is one of the family and relations.
That's exactly right. Boaz is a family member who can redeem Ruth and Naomi by marrying Ruth and taking care of them forever. So Ruth asks Boaz to redeem her, and Boaz says, "Ew, no way!
Yeah.
You're from Moab!"
Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
What?
He says, "Yes."
That's exactly
he
right.
He would love to marry her. He would love to redeem Ruth and Naomi.
That's exactly right. Boaz is a hero in this story because he loves Ruth and Naomi and rescues them from poverty. Boaz is what this story is all about. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Is Boaz what this story is all about?
No. God.
God, that's exactly right. Ruth isn't really just about Boaz, is it? It's not just a love story about a nice guy rescuing a woman in a hopeless situation. Ruth is a story that points us to Jesus, because we know that we're all in a hopeless situation ourselves, and we all need to be redeemed from our sins. The good news is that God has cared for us enough to provide a redeemer for us and to rescue us. All we need to do is trust in Jesus to be redeemed. Now, guys, what do I have here?
A puzzle.
A puzzle. That's exactly right. It's a very pretty puzzle. A winter scene, lots of snow and trees covered in them, and a few buildings. Now, if I were doing this puzzle today, I could just grab a few pieces out and just make this tree here, couldn't I?
Yeah.
And that'd be nice. I could just do the tree and it'd be all right.
No, the point is to make the whole picture.
Yeah, we need to zoom out to see the whole picture, don't we?
Yeah.
We need to see in the book of Ruth that it's not just about this little piece of the puzzle. It's not just about Ruth and Boaz, all right? See, this story is much bigger than that. I'm going to read out a little bit more of the Bible. I was going to get you to read this, Kai, but it might be a bit mean because there's lots of names in there that are hard to say. Ready? Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Aminadab. Aminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Now, what can you guys tell me about David?
David became a great king and killed Goliath.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He killed Goliath and then he became great king.
God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He was a great king of Israel. He ruled his people well and he defeated lots of Israel's enemies. But more importantly, David was the great, great grandfather of another king. A king who was a servant, a mighty hero who defeated our enemies and who redeemed us from our sins. Do you know who that king is?
God.
Jesus.
King Jesus. The story of Ruth is about a God who cares not just for Ruth and Naomi, but a God who cares enough for the whole world to send a Redeemer to rescue people from their sins. That is the big picture of Ruth. Now let's pray. Hands together, please, Hannah. Eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Ruth. Thank you for rescuing Ruth and Naomi by causing Boaz to look after them. Thank you for giving them baby Obed and for making Ruth the great-grandma of King David. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our Redeemer. Please help us to love and trust Jesus and to live his way. Amen.
Amen.
Last year, I read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's ridiculous, with some funny characters, but overall, it's a very depressing book. The author described himself as a radical atheist, and that comes out in this book, not only in mocking God and religion, but even in the attitude it has to life and meaning and purpose. It begins with the main character, a human on Earth, trying to stop the destruction of his home by the authorities who want to build a highway through the property. He could have stopped it if he'd lodged a complaint at the right place, but it was impossible for him to get there. But suddenly, a friend comes by and both of them are caught up into a spaceship, narrowly escaping the destruction of Earth by highly sophisticated aliens who are making a space highway. The people of Earth could have lodged a complaint if they'd gone to the planning office on some distant planet. A destroyed home and a destroyed planet. The irony is tragic. While the people on Earth were living their small lives, they didn't realise their lives were part of a much larger story. And in the face of that story, their lives were actually insignificant. The Bible does the same thing, but it's much more encouraging. The Bible connects us to the greatest story. But rather than making us feel small and insignificant, it's by joining this story that we gain significance. Every story of the Bible fits into the grand story. It's been encouraging to see over the last few weeks God providentially ruling over all the events to redeem Ruth and Naomi. But once we see how it fits into the wider story of the Bible, we can see the story is so much more significant than it first seemed. Instead of being the encouraging story of God caring for some individual women, it becomes the story of God caring for the entire people of God through them. God prepares us for the loving kindness of our God. As we explore its connections to the wider story of what God is doing in our world, we can't help seeing God's loving kindness to us. We'll be exploring three themes that appear in Ruth. First, Ruth prepares us for our king. Second, Ruth prepares us for our marriage. And third, Ruth prepares us for our redemption. And these themes prepare us for the loving kindness of our God. So first, Ruth prepares us for our king. It does this with the first and last verses of the book. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. We saw in chapter 1 that this was a chaotic time for Israel. There was no stable leadership, and in the last verse of Judges, we read, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Australian culture wouldn't see much of a problem here. We're suspicious of authority. Just think of our attitude when a politician makes a promise. Do you really expect them to keep it? Most of us wouldn't put too much money on it. We're cynical. We expect the promises that really matter to us to suddenly disappear from the political radar. But the Bible doesn't see authority that way. No king meant anarchy, abuse, lawlessness. Just read the last three chapters of Judges and see what I mean. It's horrific. That's the situation the book of Ruth finds itself in. But what do we see in the last verses of Ruth? At first glance, we see a son born to Ruth and Boaz, the comfort to Naomi. God has his big plans for the nation, but he doesn't forget about the individuals in it. But while that's true, it's so much bigger. Twice in verses 17 and 22, we're told that Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David. God's loving kindness to Ruth and Naomi is part of the larger story. God's being kind to the nation, preparing a king for them generations before they'll even ask. And how'd he do it? He brought famine. He sent Naomi's family to Moab. He allowed Mahlon to sin by marrying Ruth. He gave Ruth faith so she'd come to Israel, put her in the right field at the right time, and on it goes. What amazing loving kindness from God that he'd not only bring Ruth into Israel, the promised people, but he'd make her the great-grandmother of King David. More, he'd make her part of the family of the Christ. Can you see how looking at the connections to the larger story only makes the story better? Because this isn't just a story of God's kindness to individual women. It's not even just a story of God's kindness to Israel. It's a story of God's kindness to us. Not only because we can see that God was in control of their lives, and so he's also in control of ours, but ultimately because it's through Ruth that God provided us with the promised Christ, the promised king, the seed of the woman who'd crush the head of the serpent. By being kind to Ruth, he was being kind to us. The book of Ruth prepares us for the loving kindness of our God as we prepare to meet the king that was promised. The king who was born in Bethlehem. The very home of Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi. The city of David. Ruth prepares us for the loving kindness of our God, secondly, by preparing us for our marriage. Throughout the Bible, God is described as a husband to his people. The image speaks of intimacy, love, care, fellowship. Tragically, when the Old Testament speaks about this marriage relationship, most of the time it's when God is calling Israel an adulteress. She'd gone after other gods, found security in other nations. God's jealous for his wife, the one he had brought to himself, like in marriage at the Exodus. Tragically, even at Mount Sinai, their honeymoon, Israel committed adultery. Some of you have experienced that horrible betrayal from a husband or wife. Maybe you've even been the guilty one, fooling yourself into thinking that God's fine with it. He wants you to be happy. But you've ruined everything for yourself. You've broken your vows. You feel ashamed. But in Ruth, we see hope. We see a woman with a shameful past like Israel, like us. A woman from Moab, a nation which came from the incest of Lot and one of his daughters. She was part of the nation which had led Israel astray in the wilderness by sending their women to seduce the men, hoping God would destroy them in his anger. She doesn't have a good pedigree. And yet Ruth is welcomed with open arms as she marries her Redeemer. In surprising simplicity, we're told in chapter 3, verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife." Boaz redeems Ruth from her poverty through marriage, joining himself to her, giving her everything that was his, while he solved all her financial problems. It's an inspiring picture of the gospel as the greater Boaz takes his own wife, the church, redeeming her from her troubles, which we'll think about in a moment. But how is Ruth, this redeemed bride, presented? In the Hebrew Bible, Ruth comes straight after the book of Proverbs. Imagine reading Proverbs 31, "An excellent wife who can find?" And then you read Ruth, and you see that Boaz tells Ruth in chapter 3, verse 11, that "all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." That word "worthy" is the same word in Proverbs 31, "excellent." Proverbs describes the excellent, the worthy wife. Then straight away we read Ruth. The Proverbs 31 woman works hard in the field and brings honour to her husband at the gate. We've seen that. Proverbs 31 was told to King Lemuel by his mother. You could say she was teaching him about a wife fit for a king. And here's Ruth, and while she doesn't marry a king, her great-grandson is a king, and from him are many kings, and ultimately the great king, Jesus himself. Ruth is a model wife. We have a woeful past, just like she did. But we have been washed clean through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the church's husband, the greater Boaz. I wonder, are we striving to bring our husband honour like Ruth did? Are we growing in wisdom, like Paul prays in Ephesians 1:17? Ruth prepares us for the loving kindness of God by preparing us for our king, and by preparing us for our marriage, and thirdly, by preparing us for our redemption. We've spoken about this redemption throughout the book. Boaz redeems Ruth and Naomi from their poverty at great cost. Ruth asked him to redeem them, and Naomi was right in chapter 3, verse 18. "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The Redeemer is ready to sacrifice to set these women free. God arranged it all in his kind and loving providence. All the events, all the actions of Naomi's family, Ruth, Boaz, and the other Redeemer. Also Boaz would redeem them from poverty. The Bible describes us as poor. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." But why? Why say that Jesus traded his riches for our poverty? We might buck against that idea of being poor. Most of us feel comfortable. Not extremely well off, we might need to cut corners, but we're still in a nice house with the heaters on. If you've been volunteering for the Bendigo Winter Night Shelter, it might seem strange to think that, spiritually, until we've been redeemed by Jesus, we're in exactly the same position as the homeless. Since volunteering with the Winter Night Shelter, these cold nights make me so thankful for a warm house and bed, much more so than before. But God's word says that once we were all poor. We all owed a debt we couldn't pay. Our sin meant that we owed God our very lives. Or, more accurately, we owed him our deaths. Sometimes we think that God can just sweep our sins under the carpet. We don't think they matter much, and God's in the business of forgiving sins anyway, isn't he? But we need to remember who Jesus is, who Ruth revealed him to be. Ruth has been preparing us for our king and for our marriage. And when you look at it that way, we realize that our sins are an act of cosmic treason, worthy of the death penalty. How could we think that we'd get anything less than justice from the King of all? He promises us every idle word we've spoken will be judged. Every adulterous thought, every selfish and covetous desire, every time we've loved something more than we've loved God, all of this demands justice. And we can't pay the fine. Our sin is like adultery. We rebel against the husband who has loved us and turns to other lovers, gods of pleasure, status, money, leisure, travel, family. Our sin deserves judgment. But remember, Ruth prepares us for the loving kindness of our God. In his love, he sent Jesus as our Redeemer. So often we read the Bible to find out what we should do, how we should feel. And there's plenty in Ruth that we could apply that way. But that's not what I want us to leave this book with. When someone asks us what it means to be a Christian, or what the Bible is about, let's not think or say Christianity is a way of life. It's not about rules of right living. It's not even about how to please God. Those things are in there, and they're important, but they aren't the core of the Christian faith, and they're not the core message of Ruth. May our hearts always be focused and delighting in the indicative of the Bible, not just the imperatives. I used those words when we were looking at Ephesians. The indicative is the statement of fact of the gospel. The statement that Jesus has redeemed sinners by his death, dying the death his people deserved to save them, redeem them from their sins. The indicative is the gospel of freedom from sin by the death of Jesus. We often think of Christianity only in terms of the imperative, the commands. We think of Christianity as a way of life. But Ruth prepares us for the loving kindness of our God, which is found in the gospel, as Jesus our King comes to wash his bride clean of her sin by redeeming her through his blood. I wonder if you've been redeemed and joined his church, his bride. He invites you now to come and be washed clean and have your debt which you owe God be paid by his death. Trust him. Trust him, the Redeemer, to set you free. Let's rejoice in the loving kindness of our God, because Boaz fathered Obed, Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David, from whom came the eternal Christ and Redeemer of our souls. It's this story we're a part of. Let's rejoice in this indicative, this gospel of sins forgiven in him and of his loving kindness and grace. Let's pray. Our Redeemer and friend, when we consider your word, it gives us such hope and joy to think that Jesus has come securing our salvation. To think that our security and hope has nothing to do with us, nothing to do with our goodness or our lifestyle or anything else. It is purely based on what Jesus has done for us, on who he is for us. He is our King, our husband, our Redeemer. In him, our redemption has been won. The gospel is such good news. And thankfully, it doesn't depend on us, but only on him. May our love for him grow. May our walk with him be honouring to the one who has so loved us. And may we remember that any good thing we do is only a pale reflection of what we should do. That there is nothing in it to earn your favour. And that Jesus has won your favour for us. Grant repentance and faith to those who don't believe, that they would be saved as they look to Jesus, Boaz's greater son, the Redeemer of his people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Wolds from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. If you'd like to make a comment, or you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.